From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am one of your hosts, the least of the hosts, Seth Kaiser with The Athletic, and I am joined by the, I always say incomparable, I always say esteem, I always say impressive, but today, the word we're going to go with is magnanimous. Ryan Tracy.
Ooh.
With RGR Football and Rogan Analytics. You are magnanimous today because I've always found you to be a magnanimous person.
I will try to live up to that as soon as I understand what that word means.
I think it means that you can walk on magma.
Magma.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I can.
On liquid hot magma. So sort of a big week, a surprisingly news filled week in the Chiefs off season. You know, we all knew that, you know, the news of the type that we've gotten this week was coming. One thing, you know, the Chiefs are rumored to be franchising Dee Ford. We all knew that was coming. We talked about him extensively. Mm-hmm. But they have finalized the defensive staff, the defensive coaching staff. Ryan, did you see that?
I did, and I'm rather excited about it. A couple of things happened that I thought might, that I got a lot of static for, so I'm eager to expand on those.
Ooh. Let's start with the first. What is something you got heat on that got, you know, sorry, ran into a very unprofessional word stumble there. Go for it. I was just trying to lay a mixtape. That was my.
I like it.
Thank you. So what's something you got some static for that you are now going to get your redemption?
You know what? I'm going to tease it. It has to do with this guy that we should talk about first, and we'll just go in order, and I'll tease it for the second segment. How's that?
Ooh.
Because the guy that caused it is Brendan Daly, who the Chiefs hired away from the New England Patriots.
Yes.
And when they officially announced it today, he's not just the defensive line coach, because I think technically when you hire away somebody, it can't be for lateral move. You have to give him something else, right? So he's now the run game coordinator on defense, which I've never heard of before.
There are more made-up positions in football. Assistant head coach in charge of special projects. It's like, that's not a promotion. Was he in charge of special projects at his last job? You know, I mean,
right.
This is the most ridiculous stuff. I see law firms do this sometimes too, but that's neither here nor there. So what do you think? Let's start there. Brendan Daly.
Man, I have to say that my biggest thing about him, and he's been there for a few years. I think he started, if I'm correct, in 2014 as a defensive coaching assistant, and then moved up to the line coach in 2015. And when you think about those years, you think about how much turnover they've had in the front seven and how much they've had to rely on getting pressure with four a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. And he is the guy who has molded that, I don't want to say unwanted, but guys who weren't like really highly touted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guys that Trey Flowers were, nobody knew what to do with him when he first came there, right? Mm-hmm. And he's turned them into a front that can get a lot of things done.
I don't think it's any exaggeration to call the New England front seven overachievers this last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they let guys like Chandler Jones walk, and they were still, once the playoffs came around, they were getting a ton of pressure. And most importantly to me, because here's the thing, it's almost impossible to separate what happens in New England from Belichick. It's impossible to do that because he's the best in the business. However, the specific thing I saw with the Patriots, their defensive line was running some really impressive stunts and twists along the front. They were doing some really interesting games along the front that really kerfuffled the Chiefs' offensive line. And I thought more so than any other team they played, they did a great job with that. And I would assume that he had a large role in that as the defensive line coach in New England.
I would agree. And here's the interesting thing about that. Assuming that he's going to bring that mentality to his job at the Chiefs, you look at the athletes that the Chiefs have in what is now their front four.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely would have been a little bit different if it was still a front five, but in the front four, you know, you can do a lot of those more intricate stunts, twists, gap type stuff with this particular group of athletes, because I think Derek Nott is really underrated in terms of his athleticism side to side. And obviously with Houston, Ford and Jones, I mean, he's got quite a toolbox to use in cooking up some of the same things he did in New England.
Absolutely. And one thing to note with Naughty is I do think he's a little bit quicker than he gets credit for, though obviously that's not his jam, right? I mean, it's just not. I mean, he is stout and strong. And I mean, super stout and super strong. Honestly, you could see a difference in the run defense when he was on the field. One thing I think he can do with a lot of these stunts and a lot of these twists and a lot of the different things that you do along the defensive line, a lot of them involve one guy rather than trying to beat his blocker, instead just bull rushing his blocker in one direction or the other for a blitzer or for another defensive lineman to loop around, right? Naughty can play that role. And I think he can play that role well. And then obviously you change it up every now and then to where he's the one who's trying to run free. So I think Naughty can definitely play a role in that. And like you said, they've got a collection of athletes in that front four that look like they could certainly run a lot of games like that. He, you know, everyone was really freaking out about Matt House, who I know we'll talk about in a second. Daly is the one I'm most excited about. I'm very excited to have him. I think he was the biggest get. Now we'll see how it goes. You never know, but I think he was the biggest get. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think off the top, I would say so, only because his success has come at the NFL level, whereas House has been very good, but it's been at the college level, and that's still a change.
Absolutely. And it's nice with House, you know, the idea that he has been a full-fledged defensive coordinator, you know, to where he's been in charge of the whole kit and caboodle. I know there's a lot of talk that he's kind of a defensive coordinator and head coach in training. It's great to see that kind of thing on the defensive side of the ball, as well as the offensive side of the ball. And so
refreshing, right?
Yeah, it's very refreshing. So I'll tell you what, because I mean, you said you tease it into the second segment. And even though we're a little bit away, I want you to have plenty of time to set this up. So Matt Daly, how does he relate to you getting to smash your rightness into someone's face? Because I'm always interested in that.
Ooh, I always go for the gut, but okay. My big thing, everyone started to panic when Daly got hired and wanted to know about nepotism and everything else that might go into what's going to happen now. Where is somebody else going to land? And I put it out there, and what my idea was has come to pass. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see the way that it evolves, because I don't think Matt House is the only coordinator in waiting on this staff.
You know what? I would add to that, but I think that's a wonderful tease. So we're going to take our break slightly early, and then you can just be welcome to a supersized second portion bit. Ooh. What's the right word in radio world? Segment. Yes.
There you
go. You can tell I've only been doing this for a couple years. We're going to pay a couple bills and we'll be right back. And we're going to hear Ryan elaborate. I'm trying out new words today, and I apologize to everyone who has to listen and suffer through it. Thank you. We're going to hear Ryan. See, we're talking about Matt Daly for too long. We're going to hear Ryan elaborate as to this mysterious name.
We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season, and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you, the three of us, are going to be available every week just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time, and keep it locked on, Chiefs.
All right. We know that you were right. We know that you had a prediction. We also know that my two-year-old is about to break into this room that I'm currently recording in and is now standing next to me. So, Ryan, how exactly were you right? We now also know that my wife is trying to coax him out of the room. Hey, she did it.
Hello, small Kaiser child. Kaiser child.
The Kaiser child has made an appearance. He's gone. I just had my own British show moment with a very apologetic wife bringing him out. He's very disappointed because he loves me because I'm his favorite. All right, Ryan, how were you right? I want to know, who are you? Who could you possibly be talking about that people would have been panicking about that somehow related to the defensive line?
We'll talk about that after Matt House, because I think Matt House is the second biggest acquisition for this staff. And it's a storied thing, right? Because he's going to have an assistant that's going to be important. But Matt House wasn't exactly the first candidate for this job.
I gave up my breath for that build up, Ryan. Yes, Matt House wasn't. They tried to get a former linebacker, if I recall.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce, who played for Spagnuolo for quite a while, was very successful in the middle of that Giants defense. Smart and I find player. It interesting, right? Very much so. And from what I've seen post-career, very smart businessman as well. Nice. And it seems like they were going very much so for legitimate on-field experience. We will see as this staff goes on that there's a lot of playing experience on here.
Yes, yes. And we'll get to that because I think that maybe even took precedence over coaching experience. It's almost like, because with Pierce, I know he has some, but it's not like, I mean, he's got a ton of it, and we're going to talk about the defensive backs coach later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember being hired at a firm where all I'd done was prosecute, right? And I told them that, you know, they were interviewing me, and they wanted me to do general practice, you know, family law, probate law, defense actually overlaps a little bit, but you know what I mean. And all these other types of law, and I looked at them and said, you guys need to understand, I've never done any of this. This is all Greek to me because it is. It's very different operating in different spheres of the law. And the partner looked at me. He said, well, good. No one's taught you how to do it wrong. And, you know, we want to build you up how to do it our way. I'm curious if Spagnuolo values guys that he knows know football. He knows they know how to play the game. And he is confident in his ability, especially with the guys that he has, to teach them how to coach it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and this is not an uncommon practice. I mean, most times when staffs are turned over, and I've been part of this, when a staff gets canned, the whole staff goes for the most part. I have been one of those guys that, by the way, you didn't do anything wrong, quote unquote, but you're out of a job. So this happens.
Yep.
And when you can bring in somebody you know, somebody you have that trust in, that familiarity with, it goes a long way. And even though they didn't get Pierce, that's why it ends up with House, who is a rising star in the college community.
Absolutely. People are stoked about him.
I think they should be.
Yeah,
I'm very excited because if Spagnuolo is 59, I think he's going to be 60 before the season starts. So not the young spring chicken, right? So eventually you can see possibly before the end of Patrick Mahomes' career that they're going to have to change staffs.
Mm-hmm. Could definitely see that. And I know a lot of people believe Matt House is a, like you said, he's a star in the making. He's done from everything I've seen. Now I've heard people go back and forth about his time at Pitt, but from everything I've heard, he's done a fantastic job at Kentucky for the last three seasons. He was the defensive coordinator and inside linebackers coach the last 2 years, I believe. And they've turned out, you know, when you think Kentucky, you don't think football powerhouse by any stretch of the imagination. But I looked into it and their defense, I don't follow college football, so everyone else that listens might be like, well, duh. Their defense has been quite legit the last few years.
Yes. And I think that is in large part acclimated to him as his a result of his coaching and taking decent athletes a step farther.
Absolutely. I mean, they've got guys that are now pro prospects, which in part is a reflection of the coaching staff. And I would say this, it's especially a reflection on the coaching staff when you're not talking, you know, Bama, LSU, you know, Ole Miss, like these places where they're recruiting powerhouses. I don't know why I included Ole Miss in there, but I, you know, again, I don't follow college football. Everyone can mock me on Twitter. But okay, so I named two: Georgia. There's another one: Auburn, Clemson. Right? Am I closer now?
You're getting there, bud.
Okay, and I think I named all SEC schools, so there's going to be people really mad at me now. Anyway, that's something people get mad about in the college ranks, right? Like conference and. Well, I apologize. I don't follow college football. Anyway, wow, to return to my original point, when you've got pro prospects coming out of schools like that, that, and again, it's not like Kentucky is, you know, some D2 school or something, but it's not considered a classic football powerhouse.
Right. It's been, you know, at odds with the powerhouses, the top five in that particular conference for quite a long time. And like you said, to produce NFL talent at that rate, despite having to play those teams, I think that's a really good sign.
And right. And despite having maybe a disadvantage in terms of recruiting to where maybe you're not getting, maybe. Well, and that's the thing, you know, like it's again, Alabama, no one's doubting that Saban is an incredible coach, but I mean, they constantly, every year they get the best recruiting class every year. Yeah. And everyone's like, wow, they got another great recruit. It's like, what, are you surprised by this? Like, what is this, an amazing thing? But so I'm excited about House. He's been coaching for a while, but like you said, he's a younger guy too, and he might be a guy that potentially takes over at a certain point. Now, if the Chiefs defense turns around quickly, odds are they'll lose some guys. Wouldn't that be something for them to lose defensive staff because they're wanted elsewhere?
What an idea.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to speed this along. Those are the two big names for
right.
sure.
And I just one more comment. He did work for Spagnuolo as a young assistant linebacker coach in St. Louis when Spags was there. And my favorite thing about him, he's a former strength and conditioning coach.
Oh, well, of course. That means he's probably a good man. Well, since we're talking about House, let's stick to the linebackers for just a second. Because there are other, obviously we need to talk about the defensive back coach and some of the other moves that they've made. But one interesting thing that you've been alluding to for quite some time is the fact that Britt Reid, despite all the controversy, which, you know, the controversy by that, I mean people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Britt Reid remains on staff. Is that a surprise to you, Ryan? Because I'll be frank, it's not a surprise to me that he remains on staff.
No, it's not a surprise to me that he's there. And a lot of folks thought that it meant the hiring of Daly meant that he was out the door. And then there was always the people who were saying, well, he's the coach's kid. He's not going to go anywhere. He's going to be assistant to Daly. And I said, yeah. You know what? All that could happen, but I think a good spot for him. Understanding what he's going to do, taking a step back, pressure-wise, attack-wise, what he's done with the defensive line group has been good. That's what they have to do with the linebackers. And I said
absolutely
weeks ago, a good spot for him would be take a step back and work with the linebackers at the second level, because when you're building a defense, it's still my idea that the second level is the core of what you have to build a foundational defense around.
And that's where we saw some real problems for the Chiefs last season. And this is an important role, but here's what I would say. For one, I think Britt Reid, because he's the coach's son, gets some undeserved hate. Because if you're going to be mad about how the defensive line played last year, I'm not even sure what to tell you.
Right.
Chris Jones has gotten markedly better every year. Alan Bailey has improved every year with Britt Reid. Derek Nnadi had a strong rookie season. Xavier Williams took a step back. Fair enough. But I mean, you could blame that on Sutton's system as well. And, you know, that creates a situation where, you know, maybe sometimes you're giving Reed all the credit, but Sutton none of the credit. And I get that. But the defensive line has been fine. Mm-hmm. It's the linebackers that were horrific. And so I think Britt Reid has been just fine. I've seen players get better in terms of their technique and all that stuff. And so we got to take another quick break. Then we'll finish off here. I want to keep talking about Britt Reid for a few more minutes, talk about what his role looks like, and then we'll round out the staff in, at a super, you know, mailbag paced speed.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
All right, here, we're back. Now we're going to talk about it, and I'm just kidding. That's that approximates how I talk when I'm doing mailbag episodes. So Britt Reid's role on the Chiefs now is the linebacker and outside linebacker coach. Now, clearly Matt House is the linebacker coach. There's no doubt about that. So you would call Britt Reid almost the assistant linebacker coach.
Mm-hmm.
Couple things. One, I like that with the job he did on the defensive line, and I thought he did a pretty decent job. I like that they kept him around. Two, I like the fact that they have an assistant linebacker coach, because there's going to be a big shift here, a big change, new system. I like having Reed there as kind of like almost like a crossover thing, an acclimating thing for Anthony Hitchens and Dorian O'Daniel. Because I think a lot of the Chiefs' defensive success next year is going to hinge on the success of Anthony Hitchens and Dorian O'Daniel.
Yeah, the transition's difficult going to this system from where you've been, although Hitchens is returning home.
Yes.
But
Hitchens is returning home, and O'Daniel is a better fit at will linebacker than anywhere in the 34.
Agreed. And House has a history of working with inside linebackers, so I feel like Hitch is going to be fine. He's going to play the middle. That's the best spot for him. I still feel like Reggie Ragland might make this team, especially as like a guy that can rush from that middle linebacker spot. Mm-hmm. And getting coached by a guy like House, I think may take him along more so than most people think. But I think
which would be great for Reggie Ragland.
Absolutely. And for this team. Yes. But I think the really interesting thing is the two roles that have to change the most are the outside linebackers. And that's what Britt Reid is going to be tasked with handling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a big deal. I could be wrong here. We'll see. I've looked a little bit at different will linebackers. I think Dorian O'Daniel is a potential star. I really do. I think he has unbelievable speed. I think he's got what, you know, whatever you want to call it, click and close. He clicks and closes.
Yeah.
And that playing that will spot, the whole size thing just isn't nearly the issue. He is a phenomenal athlete at the position. One of the, I would argue now that, you know, that he's been moved to like, you know, an official full-time linebacker and not some, you know, people aren't going to consider him some hybrid safety. He is one of the most athletic linebackers in the NFL.
He definitely is. And this defense is set up to protect him. The 4-3 under is made to let the will run and make plays.
And that is perfect for him because you will not find the linebackers more capable of closing than him. Now, I do think what I saw last year when he was on the field, he needs to work on some of his recognition. And so it's perfect that they've got a guy like Britt Reed, who's been in the system already, knows where he's coming from, and now knows where to take him. But enough about Britt Reed. Let's talk defensive backs and corners.
Well, and the nice thing is they had two coaches before, and even though I am still a big Al Harris fan, I love the way he played, and I think maybe he just got in a rut and they needed new blood, and he doesn't know Spags, but they replaced him and Emmett, who just retired, Emmett Thomas.
I'm guessing Emmett Thomas would have been gone either way. I think that was probably one of those, you know, we'd really rather you retired because he is a Chiefs legend. But I would be surprised, to be perfectly honest, if they were going to keep him around.
Yeah. And that may be absolutely true. But I like the fact that they took two guys, a younger and an older coach, and have paired them with a younger and older coach. They're both guys that are familiar with Spagnuolo and Merritt in particular. We talked earlier in the offseason, folks, before Steve Spagnuolo got hired, about looking at Steve Wilks as a defensive coordinator and the aggression and the things that he brings to the table. Well, Dave Merritt worked for him last season in Arizona, so there is a tie there. And beyond that, Merritt spent 14 seasons with the Giants working with Spags for a lot of it. So I think it's a really natural fit.
Absolutely. He's been part of some really, really, really good defenses. He's been part of some poor defenses too, to be fair. But I do think there's a lot of familiarity in this staff. And I think that's a really big deal. All of these guys, for the most part, I mean, so Brendan Daly, I mean, you know, he's coming in from another place, but he knows Spagnuolo. And I know a lot of people don't really like the idea of like, oh, you know, it's nepotism and all that. These are all very qualified guys that I've seen. You know, Merritt did a nice job with the Cardinals defensive backs. And you know, I know, you know, he wasn't, one year he was like a defensive line coach, which is one of the weirder things because every other level he's mostly done, you know, linebackers or secondary. So that's kind of weird. But I think, I mean, when you look at him, I mean, he's been coaching for, I mean, decades.
Yep.
And I mean, he played with the Dolphins and the Cardinals. I mean, Merritt looks like a very qualified guy. I think people would be pretty psyched about him if they weren't so busy being psyched about Daly and House.
Right. Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, for all of you who are very concerned about what the free agency period might bring, Merritt is the guy who coached Landon Collins from the day he came into the league. He's also the guy that kept the fountain of youth flowing for Patrick Peterson in Arizona last season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, Collins had his best season with Merritt, if I recall correctly, if I've got the years right there. Yeah, 2016 and 2017.
Yep.
So I could very easily, I think Landon Collins might be a target. I think he fits in very well with what they want to do. But I mean, you know, we won't get ahead of ourselves. We can speculate on that another day. I like Dave Merritt. And I like you said, they brought in two guys. The other guy, which is kind of a surprise to me, and you and I were just chatting before we went on, Sam Madison, who we're getting old, Ryan.
No.
Because I know Sam Madison as a football player.
Right.
And I know him as a very good one.
Yeah.
I know him. I remember him mostly as a stud corner with the Dolphins, but he also played very well for Steve Spagnuolo, kind of similar, you know, continuing the Antonio Pierce thing. He played with the Giants 06 through 08, and I think he won a Super Bowl there.
Well, and I'll tell you this, I'll just date myself because I'm older than you. For all you Chiefs fans that remember how exciting it was when Pat Surtain came to the Chiefs, he came there from Miami, and the guy that he played across from was Sam Madison.
Yeah.
That's why it was a big deal.
Hey, you're not dating yourself with me. I was super psyched. And you know what, Surtain, he played really well for a couple seasons for the Chiefs.
Hey, and his kid's an up-and-comer too, by the way.
Oh, really? That doesn't surprise me one bit. Surtain, he could really play. They caught him a bit on the tail end. Which is unfortunate, but I mean, he could play. So here, what I'm seeing, so Madison played, so he, when he played for Spagnuolo, He played under Merritt as well. So you know he knows the system. I spent 3 years in their system. Now, Spagnuolo, hope to God, has updated his system over the course of the last two decades because the game has changed. And I think based on what we saw in 2017 with the Giants, I think he has updated his system. But that's a huge edge there. And I love the fact that, like you said, an older guy, a younger guy, a coaching lifer, and a guy who has like no NFL coaching experience whatsoever that I'm seeing.
Right. He's coached some high school from what I understand. I had to dig for that one. But this guy, Sam Madison, much like Al Harris before he came to the Chiefs, yep, based on his playing experience, a guy with 38 interceptions and 130 career breakups. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy who put out as a corner.
Right. And that's a big deal. And the guy could flat out play, was known to be an incredibly smart player and a well-rounded player. And I think it's important to you have a guy that's just flat out played the position. They've got a lot of former players, a lot of guys Spagnuolo was familiar with, but they've also, interestingly enough, you know, they kept Reed around. And then the defensive assistant, Whittingham, he's in his second year. They kept him and they kept Terry Bratton as well as a defensive quality control coach for his third season, which, you know, might really make a lot of people laugh, the idea that the Chiefs had a defensive quality control coach. But it seems, what I can tell, if I were to guess, you've got a few Reed guys left over, and then Spagnuolo was given the green light to hire whomever.
His guy.
And my understanding is that Andy Reed initially, way back when he had a defensive coordinator vacancy in Philadelphia, and he ended up filling it rather disastrously. Before he filled it so disastrously, he tried to get Spagnuolo to take the job. And so you've got guys that go way back that know each other very well, and I'm excited for it. I think this is a really good staff. How are you feeling about it?
I am encouraged as well. And not to gloss over Brad and Whittingham, I'd like to see that they keep the tree growing with guys that they feel can move on to a new system and still flourish. And when you look back at a lot of these guys on this staff, they started out as quality control coaches too. And for folks who don't know, that's kind of a catch-all. You do film breakdowns, you do tasking, you do some analytics and just logging of games. It's a lot of work. It's a young coach's job.
Right. Well, and that's where you have, you know, Whittingham. I mean, he graduated from college in 2017. Like he that's when he last played at the University of Utah. And so this is a young coach. And I like the fact that they're saying, okay, we're going to keep around guys that we like, that we think can do a good job, that they clearly don't view as responsible for the failures. And again, who knows what they would have done with Coach Emmett. I mean, who knows, right? Right. But the way things have shaken out, I think all this turnover on the coaching staff, for the most part, is a very good thing. I think it's going to be a way to get defensive players who maybe were a little discouraged to close out last year, to get them excited again, to hop into a new system, and especially if it's one that feels different, more attacking. So we agree, we're excited. Life is good. I'm excited to see how things go. Ryan, man, why don't you go ahead and close this out, man?
Oh, okay. I will tell you.
Well, because if I do it, it'll go on.
I will tell you, there's a lot to be excited. This defensive staff, it harkens back to, in terms of aggression and going back to the system, that this team hasn't seen in a long, long time since, like, Gunther. So let's all put our yellow colored sunglasses on and be ready for this defense to take a step forward.
I like
forward.
The sound of it.
Thank you guys for everything you've done for us. Thank you, Seth, for all of your comments. I am pumped because I'm a defensive guy, so I probably won't shut up about it for the next few weeks, folks. So thanks for listening to us today, and I'll talk to you about that later.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.